This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
Listeners of the morning brief, please note that today's episode contains depictions and first-person accounts of cyberbullying, mental abuse, and sexual harassment that some may find disturbing. On the 1st of January, amidst the loud New Year celebration and multicolor fireworks up in the sky, a shameful incident came to light from the dark corners of the internet.
Remember, in a shocking incident, a social media app listed Muslim women for auction. Photos of hundreds of Muslim women were uploaded on the Bully Buy app. Netizens and politicians expressed outrage. FIRs have been filed. Arrests have still not been made. What exactly is this Bully Buy case?
Hundreds of Indian Muslim women woke up to panic calls from relatives or even derogatory messages from strangers as their photographs were published without their consent on a vile app called Bully Buy. The application mock auctioned these women off to bidders in an attempt to insult, dehumanize and commodify them. What's more shocking is that this is at least the fifth such incident in less than 1 year. Last July, a similar application called Sully Deals subjected women to similar harassment. Bully and Sully are derogatory terms used to refer to Muslim women.
I saw that there were a number of messages of my friends who had seen my picture on the app, and they were informing me that so-and-so had taken place, along with screenshots. I also saw a screen grab video in which I could see all the filth on the app. And well, that's how I came to know it. Of course, it was very triggering. It made me very, very angry, but it wasn't very surprising because this wasn't the first time this was happening with me. It initially was very triggering and very humiliating, and it made me feel violated. And eventually it just made me really angry.
That was Haseeba Amin, National Convener of Indian National Congress's Social Media Department. And listening to her audio makes one feel very traumatized, disheartened and insecure. On this episode, we also spoke to N.S. Napinai, Senior Practitioner before the Supreme Court of India and founder of cybersecurity awareness platform CyberSathi. We will also hear from ET's Krishna Kumar, who has been closely following the investigation in this case. It's the 7th of January. I'm your host, Bhavya Dilip Kumar. You're listening to Bully Buy, No Country for Women on The Morning Brief, making sense of the biggest stories in business, economy, politics and markets. The open source app Bully Buy targeted several Muslim women, but the communal aspect is not the only common thread here. In most cases, the victims are also vocal critics of various government policies and social conventions.
I mean, I think what's common in all the women is that we are all vocal Muslim women, very clearly. Women who have been speaking up against injustices happening in our country, women who have been speaking up against, even against the government when policies are being made which are not fair, or all that's happening in our country, we have been speaking up against it.
Women's rights activist Sidra Patel said in an interview, and I quote, "The most shocking part about the whole Bully Buy incident is that it isn't very shocking anymore." Haseeba told us that this cyber harassment incident through the Bully Buy app that we are talking about is not something very new.
So the first incident was when this mock auction took place in May during Eid on YouTube. So this handle called Liberal Dodge, or Dog, however it's pronounced, D-O-G-E, and I think Keshu something on YouTube, these two handles had hosted a live YouTube video where, like, on the live, there was, on the screen, there was a woman, like, there were women's pictures and there were men who were passing very lewd comments, and, like, you could hear the audio of the men. The second one was when the similar thing took place on Twitter. This is when it happened with me, which was also in May, where a couple of we were auctioned off, like a mock auctioned off on Twitter. The third time this happened was the Sully Deals app. The fourth incident that took place was happened on Clubhouse as well. When it happened on Clubhouse, it happened not only with Muslim women, there were some non-Muslim women as well. But the women, the non-Muslim women who were being auctioned off were women who supported us when the Sully Deals incident happened and who had spoken up for us and who had hosted Clubhouse sessions supporting us. So it happened with those set of women along with other Muslim women. And this is the fifth such incident which has taken place.
Many have pointed out that the inaction from authorities in these previous instances emboldened the perpetrators. If quick action was taken by the authorities against those responsible for Sully Deals and the harassment of women on Twitter, the Bully Bai incident could have been completely avoided. According to a recent report by The Economic Times, India saw a rise in cybercrimes against women between 2018 and 2020, with cases filed for publishing sexually explicit content online increasing by a whopping 110%. Here's Advocate Napinai.
Amnesty International did this toxic Twitter study, which talked about or which focused on women politicians. And it gave numbers to the extent of possibly hate messages on Twitter against women politicians numbering about 10,000 per day. So hate crimes are indeed increasing. I believe that possibly the reason could be that the culprits think that they can get away with it.
The present case of uploading women's photos, auctioning them, and basically commodifying them is a clear case of privacy violation. While the app said that it was auctioning women, it was meant to insult the women involved. An attempt of trafficking has not taken place. So what does the law say about this?
Considering the kind of personalities who have been covered in it, etc., it's obviously not meant to be trafficking. It's meant more to decimate their morale, decimate their, stature, etc. So now we are still relying on general laws. For instance, you would have provisions under the IPC, which would be for outraging modesty of women. And you have offences under the IT Act, which deal with dissemination of obscene or sexually explicit content. And if it deals with minors, then for child pornography, etc. The provision under the IT Act, which has the heading of privacy, is not really what you and I would perceive as privacy. Even if it is a photograph of our face, and if somebody is reproducing it without our permission, we would want rights for removal of that content. Now, those kind of rights will come into play only after the Personal Data Protection Law, which is now the Data Protection Act, in fact, which the Joint Parliamentary Committee has finally given its report on. If that becomes a law, we would have much stronger rights in terms of privacy per se.
Bully Bai app was hosted on a platform called GitHub. Now, what is GitHub? How is it actually different from other platforms like, say, Facebook? Do the same rules apply to it as other social media websites?
For whatever I know of it, GitHub is just a platform which helps you to develop software, to use the open source tools which it has, in a kind of like you can also do this collaborative processes. So, for instance, if we want to work on a document together, we would use a Google Drive, right? So we would all be working on the same document at the same time, but from different locations. So here is an option for developing software in similar fashion. So GitHub is a hosting platform. What you host on it and how you use it is up to the user. So the real culprit here is the person who has set up this website or app and not necessarily the entity which is hosting it. The hosting platform will have the same protections under Section 79 of the IT Act as will the social media platforms as an intermediary. However, the responsibility and liability also is equal or on par. So GitHub cannot shy away from cooperating with law enforcement agencies, ensuring expedited takedowns, ensuring blocking of certain content which is hosted on its platform, because that's something they are bound to do. And if they don't do that, then they are equally liable as the person who abused their platform.
So GitHub says that it has taken down the link, but it is not ready to reveal the identity or any information about the first originator of the app. Just a few months back, when the government came out with intermediary guidelines for the existing IT Act, there was a debate on whether platforms should share the identity of the first originator with the government during some circumstances. And this is definitely one such circumstance. In a latest development, we heard that the Mumbai police has nabbed and has arrested a few suspects in connection with the Bullybuy app case.
The derogatory app case, a third arrest has been made in that. Mumbai police has in fact arrested one more student. Remember, the first two arrests in this case have also been made by the Mumbai police.
So what has happened since the press conference is that the police commissioner has informed us that the third arrest has been done. He's been detained and he's been brought. They have to do the procedures for transit remand to bring that suspect back to Mumbai. The suspect is also from Uttarakhand and he's also part of the same group that was involved in posting these pictures and getting people to put some nasty comments on the pictures of this Muslim woman.
That was my colleague from ET, Krishna Kumar, or KK as we call him.
As of now, the investigation is at a preliminary stage. That's what the Mumbai Police Commissioner has also said today. It's at a preliminary stage. But what we are hearing from sources is that the first arrest of this guy, the 21-year-old from Bengaluru, Vishal Jha, so that guy has some technical knowledge and he has collaborated along with at least maybe as of now, because that the top suspect, at least around 5 to 6 people were there, or there could be more. So they are saying that they collaborated with this girl, this 18-year-old girl, Shweta. These guys that have been arrested, they probably believe that they are the main guys who are involved. Prima facie, it feels like that.
The other question that I wanted to ask you was, the one common thread apart from all of the victims were women, and all of the victims were, most of them at least, were very vocal about several issues and they were criticizing the government on social media, was also that they all belong to a particular community, Muslim community. So, I mean, this is also not the first time we're hearing this particular community being attacked under this government. So how do you view this? In the sense, are the hate crimes increasing and is it also being normalized?
For me, the worrisome factor is if it's being highlighted in Twitter and on social media that about these crimes. I believe that there was always people who are making hate speeches and whatever. It's just that in Twitter and Facebook and social media, it's being magnified a lot. The problem, according to me, is when the people, when the cops don't take any action. The Delhi police has a lot to answer for on why the Sully Deals app, why they have not been able to make any arrests on that. It's been all like several months since that incident has happened. Unless you start catching people, there won't be a deterrent. And unless there is a deterrent, these things will keep happening and then there will be questions that are they being normalized? Like, it's a normal thing. Like, you just can't say anything in the internet to any to the Muslim community or anybody else and get away with it.
But we also want the government to speak here, right? So in that sense, what has been the stand of the central government and the state government so far, so that it gives an assurance that things are being taken very seriously?
Well, the central government, from what I have seen, is that they have said, which is a problematic stance, is they have said that they have blocked the app. Now, just blocking the app is not a solution. That the same thing happened with the Sully Deals app. Okay. The internet is such that you can create another app. And that is what has happened. In 7 to 8 months, another app has been created. And I'm telling you that if this Mumbai police had not acted on it, arrested these people, this thing would have continued. This thing would have continued. And they, what the Mumbai police is saying is that this was also a part of, they're trying to probe whether this was part of a conspiracy, whether to create a discord between two communities because they adopted Sikh identities, Khalsa, and other Twitter handles to promote this. So they're trying to investigate that also.
So you had mentioned very valid point about the bringing in the Sikh community here. We were also seeing some media houses putting across news like Hindu women are also targeted. Why are you not seeing this kind of... It's basically diluting the issue, right? So what is exactly happening here? I mean, are we seeing forces trying to make it into a politics where the problem cannot be addressed here?
Some people are thinking that even Hindu women are being abused. They are also being abused. There is no doubt in that they are also being abused. However, what is happening is that nobody wants to step back. In the past, at least, there were some leaders or community leaders who tried to make people see sense or take a back seat or whatever, cool down tempers. In this scenario, what we are seeing is that everybody has a stake in raising the temperatures for their own benefit. So nobody's taking a back seat, and this is like a free fall now. This is, unless somebody steps in, things are going out of hand.
And what's more disturbing is that the ecosystem of hatred towards women, towards a particular community, is growing in the country.
There has been an ecosystem of hatred and dehumanization which has been created since a couple of years now. If you see online the kind of language that is being used against Muslims, this mental picture is being created in people's minds of an imaginary Muslim. This is how they live, this is what they do, this is how they are our enemies, they are bad guys. This has been going on since a very long time now. Not just the Muslim community, all the minorities, in fact. This ecosystem of hate which has been created and which has been propagated for so long, we are basically just seeing the result of that. We are seeing this turn into reality. When hatred is sown like this in the society, there are, you know, history has taught us that when you spread hatred to this extent, things like this are bound to happen. So they have been brainwashed into actually believing all of these things. They actually probably believe that we are objects who are meant to be sold, who are meant to be treated like this, who are meant to be lynched maybe someday. So they genuinely believe in all these things.
Hasiba told us that if a prompt action was taken, this could have been completely avoided. However, beyond the fact that it obviously takes time for a victim to first make the complaint and approach the authorities, the nature of these crimes or the lack of adequate technology know-how for the police or the relevant authorities are also to be blamed for the delay in action.
I have been involved in teaching police and judges for the last nearly 17, 18 years now. So it's been an ongoing process for police and the system to equip themselves to combat and deal with this heavy technology-enabled crimes and violations. We also are dealing with legacy systems. So for instance, we had, when Bombay had its, okay, at that time it was still Bombay, now it's Mumbai. So Mumbai had one of the finest cybercrime cells. Everybody was well equipped. We had spent a lot of time training them and also to train them to become trainers. And I was part of this initiative. I, in fact, spearheaded this initiative where the Mumbai police had set up a lab, a cyber lab, and we used to train hands-on every weekend. So I spent nearly 2 years or every weekend for 2 years in this project in terms of training various police personnel in understanding how cyber crimes work. But then what happens is they have to go through this process of being transferred and shifted out, etc., because that's a legacy system. And then you lose a very well-trained team. And then you have to start all over from scratch. And we are talking about a metro. Imagine as it percolates down, the technology abilities of youngsters in tier 4, tier 5, tier 2, etc., cities, towns, etc., is very, very powerful and strong. But the systems may not be as powerful or strong. So as you percolate down to satellite towns, etc., you are dealing with a system which is very archaic. So the policeman at a village level is more used to dealing with theft or maybe an occasional murder, etc. They may not be well equipped to deal with cyber crimes.
I'm sure many would want to know this. So let's say my picture is being uploaded on any of the platforms like this without my consent. What are the next steps that I should do?
Often, I have noted that most victims do not wish to initiate criminal action or court cases, etc. Their ultimate goal is to just protect their rights. So today, you have a lot of rights, even in terms of approaching the platform itself. You can write to the platform. Every platform is now mandated to have a grievance officer, and it doesn't matter if they're not a significant social media intermediary. The grievance officer requirement is for every platform, and the grievance officer is expected to address the victim's request for a takedown within 24 hours if it involves sexually explicit content, even if it is morphed, even if it is just a deep fake. Often there is a lot of confusion in the minds of people, but that's not me. Would I still have that right? And I've dealt with some very scary and worrisome cases. And I really thank the Braveheart victims who actually came forward to fight and who would not sit back and relax. This was a case of morphing of a young girl's picture into nude photography and dissemination of that. And it took 9 months for her to get a FIR registered. 9 months for something which is so obvious. And in those kind of cases, I've come across these kind of absurd doubts where even law enforcement is confused into thinking, but it was a morphed picture, it is not her picture. But isn't it still affecting her rights, right? That's what they really need to, and the law doesn't look at the difference.
It takes courage, it takes healing, and it takes all the support to overcome the scar the incidents like Bully Bai or Sully Leels leave on a woman. They say globalization is here, they say we are entering a revolutionary world, and technology is a great equalizer. But the distinction of online and offline, virtual or physical, is far too less when it comes to women. The online hate comments, virtual abuse, living in the fear of possible physical violence ends up silencing women yet again. The present targeted communal harassment and lack of a strong voice from the government disapproving these violences only prove that the voices of the minorities are silenced yet again. As a victim of these incidents, it's hard to come out and speak up, but it's equally hard to not speak out. Like Napinai puts it, the second thought shouldn't be shame, but to come out and take actions legally, and moreover, to be aware of one's own rights. I'd let Haseeba have the last word.
With a good number of women that I have been speaking to, their families are extremely worried. Many of them did remove their pictures from their social media, from everywhere on social media. Many of them have decided to tone down. Many have locked their profiles. So a lot has changed for many women I know of that. If people are okay with it, then I think they should go ahead and file FIRs when something like this happens, because it is a crime, and the police need to take action, and we do have a legal system that is supposed to take action. If you are unable to, or if it is too taxing or triggering for you to do that, then maybe reach out to other women who are going through a similar thing. I think what keeps us sane through all of this, even me right now, is the sisterhood that we have developed with the other women who have gone through similar, who have gone through the same ordeal. And all of us help keep each other sane, and all of us have been speaking to each other, asking about well-being. So that also really helps. So home. I think these two things, one is reaching out and talking to people who are also going through the same thing, it really helps.
Thanks a lot, Haseeba, Nappinai and Krishna Kumar. You were listening to Bully Bai, No Country for Women on The Morning Brief with me, your host, Bhavya Dilip Kumar. This episode was produced by my colleague Nehal Chalyawala from The Economic Times and Soundarya Jayachandran from Awas. Varun Kapahi was the sound editor from Awas. Executive producer Arijit Barman. The Morning Brief airs on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. Keep listening and have a good day. All edited sound clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description below.